Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
So we know that the tomb was empty. And I've just been thinking about emptiness and fullness. Would you rather have an empty church or a full church? Come on. Would you rather have an empty bank account or a full bank account? Oh, I got a loud full for that. Would you rather have an empty petrol tank or a full petrol tank? I'm with you on that as long as it's the right fuel. And most will readily agree that full is best. Would you rather have an empty plate for your dinner or a full plate? God, come on, you're going to end up with an empty plate, but it's going to be... Yeah, it's not going to be too bad and empty. But here at Easter, full is not necessarily a good thing. Because here at Easter, those who went to Jesus' tomb first thing in the morning were expected to find it filled with his body. But empty was the better thing. Those who now look at the cross, We always look at not the crucifixion, but we look at the empty cross. So Easter, some empty is good. But when the women got to the tomb that morning, the emptiness of the tomb left them bewildered and fearful. And they didn't quite know what was going on. And their initial reaction was one of emptiness themselves, because they'd gone expecting to do a service for Jesus, to anoint him, to make sure everything was fit for his burial, because it had been done in such a hurry on the Friday, on the Sabbath eve. And so their reaction to the empty tomb wasn't the same as ours has been this morning, because we're on the other side, aren't we? We're on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the resurrection. But these first disciples had to live through something that was really pretty scary. And they were already probably feeling pretty empty by the events of the last few days. And Jesus' followers had probably been running on empty ever since Thursday night, when everything seemed to go bottom up. Everything seemed to get upended. And somehow the excitement and the anticipation of Palm Sunday and then the miraculous communion, Last Supper that Jesus shared, all that hope, all that excitement just seemed to evaporate on Friday. And Saturday must have been a day of sheer desolation. And then Sunday, this happens. Where's he gone? Who has stolen his body? You see, that's what they were expecting to find, death and a body. But the tomb was empty. It was not only empty of the body, it was empty of death. Because Jesus was no longer there. He was no longer dead. He was
alive.
Oh, I expected a louder alive than that. But their emptiness was about to be changed. Their desolation was about to be altered. The message of Easter arises and the empty tomb starts to become something to celebrate and not to despair about. The past week that had had so much to get a hold of, rejoicing, celebration, a great celebration, Passover, and then somehow mockings and beating and fear and denial and the final pain of watching their hopes die on a cross. It was going to change. Because the empty cross and the empty tomb changes everything. Easter arises and emptiness becomes fullness. It becomes the overflowing cup. It becomes the abundance of life. It becomes life where there was death. And even though fear and confusion seems to follow the disciples, even after the Easter declaration, what's happening now? What is going on now? It was a fullness that grew as they met continually with Jesus after his resurrection. And we can still do that. We're a privileged people. This fear, desolation, and emptiness gives way to the joy of knowing Easter means that Jesus is alive. Amen. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. I don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciples ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. That must have been something. A race to get there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and he went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings empty, lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and laid to the side. Then the other disciple also went in, he saw and believed. For until then they hadn't realized that the scriptures said that he would rise from the dead. And then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I do not know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go in and get him." She still hadn't got it. "Mary! Mary," Jesus said. She turned towards him and exclaimed, "Teacher!" She must then have run towards him. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord," and then she gave them the message. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there amongst them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They were empty and then they were filled. They received something of Jesus on that day. Jesus taught his disciples in that very first appearance, one, to be at peace. Two, he taught them a masterclass on mission. "As my Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." That was it. That was his masterclass on mission. And then he did something. He breathed on them Just as God had breathed on Adam and Eve, he breathed on his disciples. And in that breath was enough of his strength, enough of a communication of his Holy Spirit for them to start living full. Where once they'd been empty with grief, empty with despair, empty with fear, they were now filled with hope, filled with peace, filled with his Holy Spirit. And this is an encouragement to us. We come to celebrate Easter once again. Perhaps we are struggling with tendencies towards emptiness. Perhaps we have prayed prayers that we've perceived to be empty. Perhaps we have fears that remain or depression that lingers. Perhaps our faith is stagnant. Perhaps we've got relationships that we are struggling with. Maybe we're sometimes challenged, like the disciples were, with a future that seemed uncertain. And then something changes. Easter arises to remind us that when we're empty, Jesus offers to fill us with salvation joy and resurrection power. This is only possible because Jesus emptied himself of himself. And then he took on the full weight of our sin. And with joy, paid the price. That's good news. When in our emptiness we turn to him in the faith of the empty cross and the empty tomb, he empties us of the power and the presence of sin and death. And he fills us with the peace, the power, and the joy of his presence. Easter, empty, is good because it's the road to fullness. If you feel empty right now, get ready. Because God never leaves us empty. He is the God of abundance. He is the God that said, I have come that they, you, may have life in all its fullness. Emptiness is not Jesus' purpose. Overflowing abundance, a cup that overflows, life that overflows is what he brings to us. We need to stand at the foot of the empty cross, peer for ourselves into the empty tomb and believe, and then will our lives become truly filled with his purpose and presence. The walk of witness on Friday was awesome. It actually left me trembling when I got home. I don't know if I was exhausted. It was just God. I was literally trembling inside. And it was amazing. And we heard the message of the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And he didn't just speak them. I just know that he used every last ounce of his human strength and accessed the power of heaven to raise himself up and declare, it is finished. It was a finished work. It wasn't half done. It was a finished work on the cross. And today, what was his first words to the gathered disciples? Come on, you were listening. His first word to his gathered disciples were peace. Peace be with you. You know, sometimes we lose sight in liturgy and we read things over again, and Easter's so familiar with us that we lose sight of the power of the Word of God. One word carries the power of the word of God. Peace carries the power of God. Jesus knew at that moment of emptiness and fear and abandonment and disillusion, the thing they needed most was peace. And what happens when Jesus speaks? Something is created. Something comes forth. And peace was released to them. And I just know that God, is speaking that same word to us today. Peace be with you. And what did it fill his followers with? Reassurance, fresh hope, a kind of, what's going on here? I'm not exactly sure, but it looks good. It's Jesus. And he's speaking peace, and it fills that emptiness when we hear Jesus speak to us. But he doesn't just speak peace, as if that wasn't enough. Peace be with you. And the next thing he said was, peace be with you. He underlined it, highlighted it, capitalized it. Peace be with you. We've got a little bit of narrative in there. But he spoke to his gathered disciples. Peace be with you. And then holding out his nail-scarred hand, he said, peace be with you. Peace. And then he speaks purpose. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Peace. Purpose. And then he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Peace. Purpose. Power. Wow. Can you hear Jesus speak to you? Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Easter resurrection power of the living God commissioning his people, filling their emptiness with everything that they need to live a life of fullness. John 14:27, Jesus had already spoken to them that he'd given them the gift of his peace. He said, my peace I give to you. He knew that his disciples would need peace. He still knows that his people will need peace. But peace doesn't make our problems go away. What does peace do? What does this great gift of peace offer to us? His peace is a gift and a benediction blessing. Peace be with you. And it gives us, fills us with strength and hope and courage. Strength and courage to deal with the problem. And the hope that is not in vain because God's in the promise. And the hope of the resurrection life of the Saviour invading our challenges, our issues, our problems, our emptinesses. And we read through the book of Acts and we know what happened to the disciples after they were commissioned yet again to go and make other disciples. We see they got on and they did just that. Persecution, mocking, beating, danger, fear. Many more emptinesses must have come their way. But when they knew they had the peace and the power of God in the midst of whatever was going on, the problems didn't overwhelm them. The problems never drove them away from God. They drew them to God so they could draw strength from God to live in the peace of God that passes all human understanding. You know, when we can be peaceful in the middle of chaos that is going on around, when we can be peace-filled in the middle of an emptiness, of challenge and danger and disillusionment, that's a new word, of disillusionment, then we can be the people that God has called us to be. We can be peace givers, peace bringers, peace makers. The disciples were never overwhelmed, but they were always overcome by the power and the peace of God. The disciples found strength to deal with all of their challenges, and they moved forward in their own faith, and they found the courage to move into the purpose of God for their lives. And they received the power to fulfill their part in the mission and the ministry of Jesus. That is still the call on the Church of God today, to fulfill the mission and the ministry of Jesus. And he still speaks, peace be with you. He doesn't just say peace. He says, peace be with you. When he gave them the gift, he said, my peace I give to you. If you just stop and think that through, don't just listen, think it through. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Heaven, the King of Kings, who lived in peace, was peaceful within, even from the cross, gave that same peace to his people. You look a bit blank. Shall I say it again? I don't think I need to, do I? We just need to get it from here into here and alive in here and live it from here. Jesus made his peace manifest. He is peace, and in his Holy Spirit, his peace is also manifest, because the Spirit of God is exactly the same as Jesus. It's no different. Jesus said, I'm going away now, and I'm going to send you another helper. It's good that I go away, because if I go away, as I stand here before you, another helper will be released from heaven like me. Well, when we think of like, we don't understand the fullness of what that like meant. It meant exactly the same as. It meant no different to. And that helper is going to be in you. He breathed a measure of his spirit over his disciples, but they were still in the upper room when the full flame fell. Wow, we're going to celebrate Pentecost soon, but we're not only an Easter people, we're a Pentecost people every single day. It's great. We're Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost people all rolled into one every single day of the week, and we can live like that, celebrating all that God has done for us. Getting out there full of all his fullness so we can fulfill the mission that he gave to us. So God has made the fullness of his peace available to us. It's not the absence of problems or pain. It's not the absence of doubt or fear, but it is the gift of his presence. It is the courage, the confidence, the faith, the hope, the love, and the strength to face our challenges head on and move on with him into all that he's got for us. My prayer for you today is this, that all of us may experience fully God's peace. May that peace surpass our understanding. May that peace last no matter what is going on in our lives or in the world around us. Today I pray that we will find our emptiness filled to overflowing with the power of the resurrection life of Jesus. My prayer today is that we may know the presence, the manifest presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as we live joyfully for the purpose of his mission and ministry. Let's all start a new day, a new week, a new season of living in the fullness of the risen Jesus, in the victory of the empty cross and the empty tomb. May we live that resurrection cup overflowing, abundance of life in Christ Jesus, that he died for us to live. Easter joy and peace be with you in Jesus' name. May you come to know him as your Saviour and your King. Today, if you don't know this Jesus, he's here in his house and with his people. Today, if you know there's emptiness in your life, today, if you know your life is chaos, today, if you have fear for the future, today is the Easter promise day to you of his salvation, his life, his hope, his joy. Today, if you've walked away from him, it's as simple as turning around and walking back to look on the empty cross, to see the empty tomb, and to know that he came to give you fullness of life, fullness of joy, a release from sin, a forgiveness for all that's gone before, and a setting free to be living the abundant, joyful, overflowing life of Christ Jesus himself. That's his Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost gift to you today, because we live the other side of the cross, the other side of Pentecost. We don't kind of get a little bit here and a little drop there and maybe a bit more later on when we've been good enough. Let me tell you, none of us is good enough. Only Jesus was good enough. And that's good enough for us if we will say yes to him as Saviour, Deliverer, Strengthener. Today, if you want to be filled with the fullness of Christ, if you want to be filled with his peace, if you want to be living the overflowing life instead of that half measure stuff, I want any of this is the glass half full or half empty? Neither. I want the one that's overflowing. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with whether you look at the glass and think, is it half full or is it half empty? Am I going to be like miserable today or am I going to be optimistic today? That's rubbish. That's not life. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it in overflowing abundance. So abandon the half a glass mentality, get a hold of the overflowing cup and live that life. Today, if you want to know him, he's brought you here. Today, if you want to come back to him, that's why he's brought you here. Today, if you want more of him, that's why he's brought you here. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Your Easter egg might be empty. But Jesus is offering you fullness, overflowing fullness of life. He's offering you peace. He's releasing to you a life's purpose. And the power is here today for you to breathe in. We're going to rejoice and the worship team will come. And we're going to sing. We're going to praise. And if you know that you're here today for God's purpose, then I invite you to take that step today. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Do not draw away. We're not of those who draw back. We're those who draw near to the Saviour and get a hold of the fullness of salvation. I want to challenge you to stop living empty, to stop running on empty. I want to challenge you today to get a hold of that full and overflowing cup of life in all its fullness. while we worship, if you want to come and join me here. If you want to come and receive prayer, then we're here. The leadership team is here. We're really happy to pray with you. If you know in your heart that Jesus is speaking to you, take that bold step and you come and we'll pray with you today as we worship.